Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. Is it time to let AI run your forecast? Today's show is sponsored by IBM, and I'm pleased to be joined by one of their leading experts within AI and forecasting, Bill Primorano. Bill, welcome to the show. Feel free to introduce yourself, and then I'll touch upon the rules of the show afterwards.
Thank you, and welcome to everybody who's joining us. Anders, thank you very much for asking me to join here today. My name is Bill Primorano. I'm the Worldwide Technical Sales Leader for IBM Business Analytics. I have over 25 years accounting and finance experience prior to coming to IBM. So I'm looking forward to talking about this topic because I'd lived it for many years.
Great to have you here, Bill. And I'm really looking forward to hearing your insights as well and seeing maybe how far have we actually come with AI and forecasting today. I speak about it a lot, but I speak about it from a more conceptual perspective and saying this and that is possible. But we'll be able to hear from you what is actually possible. And I'm sure the audience is very excited about that as well. So we published a blog post this morning together with IBM, and IBM is all about turning actionable insights across the enterprise into kind of turning your data into insights with easy to use built-in AI tools. And we'll talk about how to do planning analytics also with IBM later today. But essentially, we do say that it's time to let AI run your forecast. The application of AI in business is a long gone as a philosophical question. AI is driving business decision daily worldwide, and there's much to gain by AI enabling your business processes. However, in many finance functions, the application of AI is still in its infancy, despite talking about it for so many years. This leaves finance professionals frustrated as they're overworked, running countless manual spreadsheet, often driven processes that add little value and take a lot of time. Planning and forecasting are probably one of the best examples of this madness. Many companies still run bottom-up exercises where different business units and departments provide input that are then consolidated into a high-level forecast, and they then use that forecast to plan activities for the coming period and update the forecasted figures to align with corporate goals. You've probably all been in a process like this, at least I know I have many times, and you wonder what is all good for when management anyway decides to change the number at the end. So it's kind of a challenging process, let's say. Of course, the pace of business is accelerating rapidly as we're doing this, right? So where companies once perhaps had the luxury of updating their forecast annually or quarterly, the dynamic nature of today's market demands monthly or even weekly forecasting might be needed. So when actuals start to come in and they vary greatly from the forecast, finance teams must then evaluate and change the drivers to overcome for poor forecast accuracy. And perhaps some of them are even punished for poor performance in their KPIs. And they're like, why didn't you hit the forecast? It was biased and it had all sorts of different inputs and management changed the numbers anyway. So, you know, we're never going to hit that forecast. And even if with AI, we're probably not never going to 100% hit that forecast, but we promise you it's going to be more accurate. So in today's show, we explore the practical steps needed to infuse AI into your forecast process to alleviate some of these headaches. But it's a big topic, Bill. So how do we get started? I don't have a large team or data science experience or anything like that that maybe our only blue chip companies have today.
That's a great question. So last week I was, or actually this past week, I was at a conference for a bunch of finance executives. So Finance Executives International had their big national conference, and this was actually one of the topics we talked about. And these are small, mid-sized companies that are saying, look, I don't have data science. I have a small group. How do I do more with less? So the first place you really want to focus is on your data quality and the data availability. Because if you're looking to put AI into your process, it's very difficult if you don't have that great foundation and starting point. So the next thing is you want to do is really start small. Pick one of your tasks, one of your department forecasting. Maybe it is around volume. If you are a consumer products and you're looking to forecast volume, pick one of your brands. Test it out there. And really, you want to then have a solution that once you start in that area, that you're then able to grow, scale, and move forward within the solutions. So IBM Planning Analytics, I'll put a plug into where I work. We have built-in AI algorithmic forecasting. I'm not a data scientist at all. As you could tell from my, as I said earlier, my long blonde hair, you could see I'm a very young man. I'm not a data scientist. I have been doing forecasting in all different forms and formats throughout my career. But within Planning Analytics, I can highlight the area that I want to focus on. What are the different products or the departments? And then we invoke the built-in AI forecasting, and now the system is going to do that heavy lifting for me. It removes the bias because the system is doing this. It looks at, if I'm doing an exponential smoothing model, it's going to look at the trends, the seasonality of my business. That's where that need for quality of data comes in. That better available data that you have in an AI forecast, that's going to give you a better time projection going forward. Now, if I was looking at, say, external factors that impact my business, one of the things that a lot of businesses are impacted by is weather. Travel. If I am, you know, in a rainy season or a storm season, do I need to make sure I have enough staff on hand to handle the demand of the calls that will come in? There, I want to make sure that those factors that I bring in that are not part of my organization and part of my ledger, they make sense, that they are a driver and an impact to my business. So those are the things you want to look at to start. It's that data, it's the correlation, and then the systems that you put in place. Let the system do the lifting so you don't need to be that data scientist.
I think those are some great insights, Bill. And I think it sounds so basic to start with the data, right? But I think the simple correlation is that bad data leads to bad output, and good data has the opportunity to lead to good outputs, right? It's not a sure thing. And we've been talking about the data challenge, let's say, for years, right? That finance teams and companies in general are trying to improve the data quality. And yet it still seems to be a challenge. So maybe you can expand a little bit on how do companies ensure they actually have good quality data to start building their models on?
Perfect. One of the things that I talk about a lot with the organizations that I go to visit or these groups, when it comes to the data, everybody's got their own little silo. And what you need to start doing is breaking down those silos across the departments. The best decisions are collaborative and informed decisions. To do that, you need to talk to your counterparts in the organization. So if I'm doing a sales forecast process and I am working on this, I want to make sure that I'm collaborating with my sales team. I want to collaborate with my promotions, the pricing, the marketing team, because at the end of the day, they have information that is going to impact the final result. So when I talk about I need forecast accuracy and I want to grow the volume of my business and take on market share, but I don't want to have these wild swings in my forecast, that's all going to come by talking to the accountable parties that are had their stake in the process. And that's where your best bet is to get clean data, quality data, is to not rely on your silo, but to really talk to your counterparts who have that vested interest and are looking at this information.
Great to hear, Bill. And we actually talked about that even just 2 weeks ago on this show, how to break down those finance silos and become a much more collaborative in the way that we do things. So really happy that you mentioned that point as well. We'll continue a little bit on some practical steps to build your AI forecast, and then we'll get back with some more questions to you a little bit later, Bill. I remember attending an executive conference some years back, I think it was 2018, where a finance director from a large multinational company, he presented a case story on how they improved the forecast process in their company. And he had basically replaced their bottom-up forecast with a top-down AI-driven forecast. What was the result of that? Well, with improved forecast accuracy and speed, conversations around the forecast changed drastically. So instead of justifying their numbers, the different entities could now focus on more strategic discussions about future probable scenarios, because everyone trusts the forecast numbers are accurate, or at least as accurate as they can be. Examples like these can seem almost magical, of course, to those that are still conducting a manual bottom-up exercise. Of course, it's important that we try to break down how to set up an AI-driven forecast into some more practical steps. And we talked about it already, right? The starting point is usually your historical data. And we talked about that also maybe some more weeks back before we went live on LinkedIn, but you could hear that on the audio show. So it's also there in the podcast, where we, of course, we need to ensure we have high quality data to have high quality output from the AI models. But let's turn to some of these practical steps that you need to actually build your model. So the first step is to decide on your forecast model, be it univariate or multivariate. And Bill will talk more about that because he's more the expert here. A univariate model works well for predicting data that follows a clear pattern, like seasonal changes. On the other hand, multivariate models use more than one time-dependent variable to make predictions. The forecast model not only looks at historical data, but also the dependencies between the specified variables to create a forecast, making it possible to create more detailed and accurate forecast, especially when many different factors affect the outcome. And if you want to forecast something bigger, like your revenue or your cost base, for instance, in a company, there's always more than just one factor, right? So obviously, you need to have that built into your model. The second step is to select what you want to forecast, whether it's forecasting volume or revenue or operating expenses. You need to let the system do the heavy lifting. Infusing AI into your process will help improve accuracy by removing bias, taking human behavior out of your forecasting process. Step number three is to consider your forecasting horizon. While longer forecasts are more uncertain when leveraging AI in your process, also more uncertain if you leverage humans, the more history the model has, the better the outcome. To produce a 1 year or 12 month forecast, you need to have double data set of your historical data, meaning a minimum of 2 years of monthly data, as outliers can be adjusted for and seasonality considered. Fourth step is to share your results of the forecast across your business. So by leveraging a collaborative integrated planning solution, all the changes from the AI driver-based forecast are immediately reflected across all planning areas. For example, for capacity planning, headcount planning, and profit and loss management. Finally, you should evaluate results and take action based on the forecast. So you can execute your plans, determine next best actions to succeed while assigning accountability. By leveraging an analytics solution, you can track and monitor actions taken to easily determine the accuracy of your forecast. Using AI-driven forecasting lets you change the conversation from what the numbers should be to how to make them happen. Or if you're not satisfied with the results of your most likely forecast, implement actions to make it even better and make it in line with your goals and your strategy. We'll spare you perhaps for the more technical details, but make sure to choose a planning solution that has an AI forecasting embedded. Modern tools provide financial analysts with easy-to-use forecasting capabilities that were only available to data scientists in the past. Features like baseline forecasting make things even easier. Baseline forecast acts as a benchmark, and you do not need to have a data science department or degree. Organizations can compare actual performance against the baseline to identify deviations and adjust strategies accordingly. It should be clear that this approach will be a big time saver for finance teams and enable them to bring insights to the table timely and relevant for decision making. So Bill, we mentioned about this univariate and multivariate AI forecasting a bit earlier. Could you elaborate a bit on this multivariate AI forecasting and maybe give an example or something?
Absolutely. And so when you were just reading some of the things that you, like that conference you attended, when the leader talked about taking the forecast away from the bottom up and bringing it more to a top down, one of the things that I would caution our listeners is be careful to get away from the stigma of that's the finance forecast. Like you were talking in the very beginning, we always hear this. And as finance executives and finance practitioners, that's the worst thing you can ever hear is that's your forecast. I'm not going to follow it. Because right there, you just killed your forecast accuracy. So when we talk about bringing in AI and doing those top-down forecasts, it really is still talking about integrating and collaborating. Like I mentioned earlier, the best decisions, they're integrated, they're collaborative. So when you're looking at these types of forecasting methodologies, now, univariate, which everybody knows as exponential smoothing, time series forecasting, that's going to look at your trends, your seasonality in whatever measure that you are using in your forecast. That's great if you have static and continuous operations. But what if there was a spike in maybe ramping up a new production facility or a new distribution center? If you don't collaborate with your operations team and integrate their piece of information, you may all of a sudden keep repeating this ramp up curve. So you need to understand and work with them to smooth some of those out. Now, Planning Analytics, we go and we will run those algorithms. So there's 9 different algorithms that run in that time series forecast and that exponential smoothing model. So the Holt-Winters model, again, not data scientists. From what I understand, that's one of the popular exponential smoothing models. But what it'll do is it'll detect outliers like that. But if you're not bringing a solution in that has that capability, you will end up falling into that trap of keeping repeating the forecast. And then that, like I said, that becomes, that's finance. There's no way that I'm going to be able to produce or live up to this constant up ramp because that's not our going business. Now, when you talk about the multivariate, and I mentioned it earlier, that's when you look at external factors that impact the performance of your business and are part of your business model and your drivers. Weather. My background, I was in consumer products and beverages for many years. If my go-to-market strategy is to bring my customers out to the markets and the corner bodega stores or to the parks and the ballparks, weather is going to have a big impact. Gut feel would say, oh, it's warm out. I'm going to go in and expect that everybody's going to have a cold drink. Not necessarily. If your go-to-market strategy is to expect your customers to be out in the park or at the ball game or whatever, if it's hot, if it's extremely humid, they may decide it's not worth me going outside. I'm going to stay in the air conditioning. I'm going to stay in cool. And there are been proven cases and statistics that show when temperatures hit a certain level, humidity hits a certain level, that's going to impact what my performance is. So these are things you want to take into account. And again, it's all about collaborating and integrating with your partners in the organization. Now, you talked about that predictive baseline. This is a great starting point for anybody who is looking to have just an entry into an AI forecast, because the system is going to run that baseline for you. You can schedule it. So within Planning Analytics, we can schedule that forecast, that AI forecast, to run overnight. So when my ledger gets updated on my sales performance, my actuals have come through and they're updated in my ERP system, now I can load that into Planning Analytics and have that forecast run while everybody is home sleeping. Let the system do that heavy lifting, because when you come in the morning, you now are immediately successful to start in your forecast process. And because it is a predictive baseline, that's your starting point. You can build on that. Bring in those pieces of information that you get from marketing on a new product launch, or maybe some information that comes from operations around a constraint that may impact your ability to deliver on these forecasts. So when you're looking at these, that baseline gets you your foundation, your start, but then you work with the other teams to get to that consensus. So that's multivariate, a little bit of univariate, but some examples that I've gone through in my past.
Thanks a lot for sharing those, Bill. And I'm sure it's hugely helpful to the audience as well, just to understand a little bit more about this whole AI and forecasting and a bit the next layer of that, and not just hear about it in very broad-based terms. We'll get back to a few final questions here at the end, Bill, so stay tuned for that. Obviously, it can seem like a daunting effort to get started. Bill shared a few insights in the beginning, but you can really just start small and scale from there. So if you haven't used any AI-driven forecasting before, it may seem like a big jump to go all in. We understand that, right? But it's not necessary either. You can start small and scale once you have proven the value. You could take a departmental approach, like start with sales, where you consider time series forecasting on your volume as a driver and remove outliers. To take this approach, it's important to establish a strong foundation with a solution that supports scaling. This means having the flexibility to expand into other departments confidently without worrying about performance limitations and whatnot. It's like you're buying a business intelligence tool, but you only have 5 licenses. So once it needs to expand to another department, you're like, oh, we couldn't do that actually. So you need to, of course, make sure you're ready to scale. So if each department has their data stored in different ways, it also requires building and maintaining separate models for each department. Even if each department has its data stored in different ways, building models in a multidimensional in-memory database will ensure that data across departments is consistent, applied, and easily accessible. AI-driven forecasting not only saves time and reduces manual labor, but also improves the accuracy, reliability, and strategic impact of financial planning and operations. So we will talk about some of the benefits here and share a few cases. And if you want to learn more about the cases, you can jump into the article published this morning. If you haven't received it directly in your inbox with the newsletter, you can click on some links there to read about more about the cases. But the first benefit is around fewer involved resources. So AI-driven tools can automatically integrate and process data from multiple sources, both internal and external. For instance, we had Idaho Forest Group centralized all of its balance sheet, income statement, and cash flow reporting, which allowed it to maintain a rolling 24-month AI forecast that is constantly updated with product, pricing, sales, and inventory data. This automation reduced the need for manual data entry, decreased errors, and freed up executive schedule by cutting forecasting efforts from 80 hours to under 15. You'll reduce the processing time. So not only will you be able to cut away multiple steps in the process, but the general processing time will also be reduced. AI and machine learning capabilities coupled with in-memory database handled complex scenarios in seconds. These capabilities allowed ICBC to quickly generate stress test reports and adjust forecasts based on dynamic economic conditions, slashing processing times by half. Wouldn't that be nice for all finance teams out there? You'll also improve the accuracy. So removing the human bias from the equation will significantly improve the accuracy of the forecast, letting the system do the heavy lifting paired with an easy to understand and transparent interface, empowered managers to now participate in planning processes. Länsförsäkringar AB, Swedish company, increased its planning cycles from 2 to 10 times annually. This resulted in more granular and accurate budget forecasts that helped them maintain a more competitive cost structure. And finally, you can integrate more data. So traditional forecasting relies on making gut-based assumptions about the future. Now you can include multiple external variables into your model, like Bill talked about the weather, for instance, right? Making your AI forecast more robust and allowing for the system to make the relationships and drive your new forecast. At Vasan, for example, the AI model factors outside temperatures and production estimates to forecast future energy needs, which helps them secure agreements for more sustainable energy sources in the future. The more indirect benefit, of course, is improved decision-making. When there's no debate about what the most likely number is, it dramatically changes the dialogue. It also frees time to do better scenario planning and multiple scenarios for easy activation of plans B or C. In addition, AI accelerates decision-making through natural language conversation. You can use generative AI-powered assistants. Probably all heard about that in last year, right? You'll be able to query for insights in the forecast much faster and understand what factors drive the business. This saves hours of manual analysis and will likely uncover trends and patterns you would not have spotted yourselves. We are coming towards the end, Bill, but just have a few more questions for you here. So can you maybe share a little bit about how an AI-powered assistant can help finance professionals?
What an AI-powered assistant, especially, so planning analytics, we now have a planning analytics assistant in our latest version. It's all about empowering the end user. So you can engage with more data. You can have the system do a lot of the tasks that you would have spent more time in pulling together. Leverage natural language. So these are all some of the key capabilities that you want in an assistant, because it's going to go in and look at your information, investigate that model, and give you the insights. And that's all part of what we have within planning analytics. And once you have that, then the AI assistant can even start to give you some recommended forecasts. So it's going to then guide you through things that are more complex in your process and create the forecast, enhance your skills, and again, letting the system do that heavy lifting.
Great stuff, Bill. So maybe just building on that, what kind of key features do finance team need for kind of that real-time decision-making in these rapidly changing markets?
Yep. So some of the things that we talked about here, bringing into a system that has the ability to scale and be flexible with changes in your business model, one that is going to allow for collaboration and breaking down of those silos. You mentioned earlier about the multidimensional. So planning analytics is a multidimensional engine. So now If you think of your traditional rows and columns of an Excel file, this is rows, columns, and all your tabs. So it brings in that depth of analytics, but that's going to help you bring that data set together. Because again, we talked about it's key to start with good data, clean data, and collaborating with your peers in the organization. Once you do that and you have a system in place, it's all about people, process, technology, and data. Bring those together in something like planning analytics, you will be able to leverage the system and get better forecast accuracy in output.
Great stuff, Bill. I'm sure our many finance team will definitely be wanting that. And I think our general question for them is, what are you waiting for? The era of hesitancy is definitely over. I think modern technology makes building an AI-driven forecast straightforward. And if your current system doesn't support AI, maybe you need to change. This is a must for finance teams today. And if you get it, don't get it done, business leaders, they will move on without you. And I can guarantee you that. It might sound a big negative, but finance doesn't deliver. They find ways of doing it themselves. We have highlighted some of the practical steps to take to get started. It's not that hard and wouldn't require a monster effort to implement either. In fact, we would argue that your ROTI, which is return on time invested, is paid back within perhaps even a single forecasting period, maybe just two, but that's okay, I think. That's how many resources you have tied up in your process today that are now empowered to work on new value-added activities. And with that, we're coming to the end. Bill, a big thanks to you for coming on the show today, sharing your experience and your knowledge about this area here, and really just helping us take that next level depth step on AI and forecasting and not just talk about it as a general term. I think that's been hugely valuable for the audience today. And I'm happy to see that's going to live on LinkedIn and on YouTube channel and the podcast. And we'll definitely make sure a lot of more people get to hear about it. So thanks a lot, Bill, for being here today.
Thank you, Anders, and thank you for the opportunity to share with the team. I appreciate
it. Absolutely. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks for joining us here on the LinkedIn Live format. And we hope to see you again next week, same time, same place. Not with Bill, unfortunately, but I'm sure it's going to be quite good still. So thanks a lot, everyone, and see you next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.